We spent a lot of time on these deep dives talking about, the future of AI, the speed, the creativity, the jobs, the endless race for faster GPUs. But underneath all that digital buzz, there's this physical crisis unfolding, a much quieter one, and it's all about water.
That's really the pivot point, isn't it? The physical footprint of this, well, this digital revolution has just gotten astonishingly large. We sort of treat AI like it lives in the cloud, but every computation, every single one, generates massive amounts of heat. And that heat has to go somewhere.
It has to be removed.
And removing it requires a physical medium. And globally, more often than not, that medium is water.
Okay, so let's unpack this with the sources you sent over. We're going to take a deep dive into the data, and our mission here is to answer a question that frankly sounds a little bit like science fiction.
I know the one you mean.
Why are these huge AI models now estimated to be using more water than the entire global bottled water industry?
It absolutely sounds like hyperbole, I get it. But when you actually look at the aggregate data, the scale is just, it's real.
So what are we talking about?
Research estimates that the total annual AI-linked water consumption has climbed into the hundreds of billions of liters.
Hundreds of billions.
Globally, yes. And the most high-profile estimate puts that figure at a staggering 765 billion liters per year. And
Wow.
that volume, that's enough to surpass the global bottled water industry's total water demand.
I mean, when you put a virtual technology next to the physical act of bottling water factories, trucks, global shipping, it just forces you to rethink what digital even
It's a
means.
physical industrial system now.
Yeah.
It is. And our goal for you today is to give you the real detail behind those massive numbers.
Okay.
You'll walk away knowing exactly where this water is consumed and, spoiler, it's not just the data centers, and what a single chat request actually costs, down to the milliliter.
Right, and with the big companies like Microsoft and Google are actually reporting. So let's start small then, to make those billions feel a bit more tangible. If I'm sitting here sending prompts to a large language model, something lots of us do now, what's my hidden water bill?
Right, and this is where researchers have tried to create that direct line for you, the user. The most widely cited analysis suggests that just 10 to 50 prompts,
10 to 50, so a short
just
conversation.
conversation, yeah, that corresponds to around 500 milliliters of water consumed.
500 milliliters. That is, I mean, that's exactly a standard small bottle of drinking water.
It is.
So I could use up a bottle of water just by having a quick brainstorming session with an AI. That is a powerful way to visualize it.
It makes the invisible visible, right? And if you zoom in even further, the cost for a single request, it varies a lot.
Based on what?
Things like model efficiency, the location, the local power grid. But those estimates range from a tiny 0.26 milliliters up to a pretty significant 39 milliliters per request.
Per single request. It's the small, frequent costs that just multiply into these crazy figures. So let's scale it up. Let's go to the corporate level using the source data. What's the daily footprint of a major AI player look like?
The daily scale is truly enormous. For instance, OpenAI's AI operations are associated with around 97.5 million liters of water a day.
97.5 million. And Google.
Google's AI operations, a bit harder to isolate, but they consume on the order of 650,000 liters per day just in their direct operations. The indirect use is layered on top of that.
So if we take that OpenAI figure, the 97.5 million liters, and we go back to our little water bottle analogy.
You're looking at roughly 195 million bottles worth of water
Per day.
per day, linked to just one major provider's AI workloads. That number, 195 million, that really forces you to stop and think.
It really does. I mean, think of the physical energy to manufacture and ship 195 million plastic bottles, and then compare it to this silent digital process generating that same demand. It's shocking. So we have to get into the nuts and bolts. Where is this water actually going?
Okay, so the core physics is simple. Computation generates heat. The problem is managing the immense heat from modern GPUs, and that happens in two main layers.
Let's start with layer one, the obvious one, the water used right there at the data center.
This is all about evaporative cooling towers. In a hyperscale data center with thousands of AI chips running hot, you have to get that heat out.
And evaporative cooling is just efficient.
It's efficient and it's relatively cheap. Warm water, which has cooled the servers, gets pumped into a tower. A small fraction of it evaporates to carry the heat away into the atmosphere, and the rest is cooled and sent back.
So the water that's consumed is the water that literally turns into vapor and is just gone?
Precisely. And we had to make a critical distinction here for you, the listener. companies often report water withdrawal. That's the total water they pull from a source.
Okay.
But the number that really matters is water consumption. That's the water permanently lost to the local watershed, mainly through that evaporation.
So when we say Microsoft's usage went up by billions of liters, we're talking about water that evaporated. It's gone from that local system.
It's gone. That's why it's so important that water is now unavailable for farming, for drinking, for the local ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And climate plays a huge role in how fast that happened.
How so?
Well, in hot, dry climates, low humidity, the rate of evaporation, and so the water consumption, it spikes dramatically. The air is thirstier, basically.
So putting a data center in, say, a water-stressed, hot region creates this enormous localized water problem.
An immediate one, yeah. But what about, you know, the companies that use fancy air cooling?
Yeah.
They claim to be low water.
Right. Does that let them off the hook?
That's what they'd like you to think, but it completely ignores the bigger picture. And that brings us to layer two, indirect water use, the power plant factor.
Oh.
Because even the most advanced air-cooled data center still needs just immense amounts of electricity. And a lot of that power comes from thermoelectric plants.
Coal, gas, nuclear.
Exactly. And those are all incredibly water intensive. The majority of electricity production relies on heating water to make steam, turn a turbine.
And then that steam has to be cooled back down.
Rapidly. Cooled and condensed back into water. And that process requires vast quantities of cooling water. I mean, electricity generation is consistently one of the largest water withdrawal sectors in any industrialized nation.
So a data center in, say, Nevada might report low direct water use because it's air-cooled.
Right.
But if its power is coming from a coal plant on the Colorado River, the real water footprint is just invisible to the people in Nevada.
You got it. Every extra watt hour for AI increases not just direct water use at the site, but indirect use of the power plant. The true cost is so much larger than what the local water meter shows.
And this is all happening while the global AI market is projected to grow at, what, something like 40% a year?
40% a year. It compounds the problem incredibly fast.
So let's connect the dots back to that big number, that 765 billion liter milestone. It genuinely means the global AI ecosystem is now out drinking all the factories filling plastic water bottles, combined.
It is. And that comparison just gets more alarming when you look at the future projections. The model suggests that by around 2027, AI could require an additional 4.2 to 6.6 billion cubic meters of water withdrawals annually.
An additional, okay, put that into a scale I can understand, 4.2 billion cubic meters.
That is an additional water requirement that is more than the annual water withdrawals of roughly half of the entire United Kingdom.
Half the UK.
That's the definition of a governance issue. Once a technology sector shows up next to entire countries in water statistics, it's not a tech problem anymore. It's a fundamental resource allocation challenge.
And we can see this acceleration in corporate reports, right? Microsoft and Google saw huge spikes just between 2021 and 2022.
The numbers are startling. They really are. Microsoft disclosed a massive water consumption increase of about 35% in 1 year.
35%.
Reaching nearly 1.7 billion gallons. That's about 6.4 billion liters. It's enough to fill over 2,500 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
That's a staggering jump for one company in 1 year.
And Google reported a similar trend, about a 20% increase in its direct water use. And crucially, both companies explicitly linked a big share of that surge to AI workloads. This isn't just more servers, it's AI specific.
Okay, so let's dig into the why. What's demanding all this water? Is training a model the same water cost as just using it day to day?
Oh, not at all. You have to separate training from inference. Training is the real short-term water monster. That's where resource use just peaks.
Training, for our listener, that's the process of actually building the model, right? Feeding it all that data.
Exactly. You've got thousands of GPUs running near full tilt for weeks, sometimes months. That generates this vast sustained heat load, which drives cooling and water evaporation through the roof.
And the scale of that.
Training a single very large model can use an amount of water comparable to the daily consumption of a small city.
A small city. Wow. Okay, so training is this huge one-time burst. Inference, on the other hand, is serving the user. The chats, the API calls.
The day-to-day stuff, yeah. Inference workloads are individually much lighter, but their frequency is just astronomical. Billions of requests daily.
The additive effect.
It's the additive effect. Since we know each request costs a few milliliters, you multiply that across billions of interactions, and you're right back to those tens and hundreds of millions of liters per day.
So if the problem is heat from computation, the path to efficiency has to be about making the models themselves better so they demand less raw power.
That is the most elegant solution. Absolutely. Improving algorithmic efficiency is one of the most powerful levers we have, using better architectures that require fewer FLOPs.
FLOPs, for anyone unfamiliar, that's just floating point operations, the basic math the GPU has to do.
The raw work, yeah. So fewer FLOPs means less work. We can do that with methods like sparsity or distillation.
Explain those quickly.
Sparsity just means making the model work hard only when it needs to. Distillation is taking a giant hungry model and sort of teaching a much smaller, more efficient model everything it knows.
And both of those use fewer FLOPs to get a similar result.
Significantly fewer. And fewer FLOPs means less energy, which means less heat, which means less water use. It's a direct chain reaction.
It's a perfect feedback loop.
It is. And using smaller, specialized models instead of one giant do-everything model is another massive lever we need to be pulling.
That makes so much sense. But I have to ask, if liquid cooling, which pulls heat right off the chip, is so much more efficient, why aren't all data centers using it? Is it just cost?
That's a critical question. And yes, it's largely an economic one. While things like immersion liquid cooling are technically superior, the upfront capital cost is just significantly higher.
And it's more complex to maintain.
Way more complex than traditional evaporative systems. So until water scarcity becomes more expensive than the tech upgrade, a lot of places will stick with the cheaper, water-intensive methods.
That economic barrier is key.
Okay, so let's look at the future. If we just keep going like the business as usual scenario, what happens in those strained local regions?
The risk is very high because this growth isn't spread out evenly. We're going to see severe localized hotspots. Think about regions like the American West or drought-prone parts of Europe where data centers already cluster.
Because of cheap land or tax breaks.
Exactly. And there, they risk creating direct competition for water with cities, with agriculture, with communities who are already struggling.
That's the real danger, isn't it? Adding this massive new industrial consumer just heightens the risk of shortages and, political conflict.
For sure. The mitigation scenario, the path forward, it demands focused action. There are four key levers we have to pull.
Okay, what are they?
First is cooling optimization. We have to shift away from standard evaporative cooling. That means things like advanced air cooling or hybrid systems or non-evaporative liquid cooling.
Second has to be where we build them. Yes, smarter siting. New data centers must be built in regions with abundant water or in climates suited for low water cooling. And crucially, they have to be built away from stressed water basins. We have to stop prioritizing tax breaks over basic sustainability.
And the third lever hits that indirect water use, the power plant.
Exactly. Renewable energy. Moving AI onto solar and wind dramatically cuts dependence on that water-intensive thermoelectric generation. Solar and wind just have far lower operational water footprints.
And the last one?
Water treatment and reuse. Using on-site systems to recycle water, use gray water, or treated wastewater instead of constantly pulling fresh potable water just for cooling.
So cooling, siting, power, and reuse.
Those four are essential to bending the curve.
This has been a fascinating and pretty sobering deep dive. The core takeaway for me is just how physical this digital boom really is.
The key questions for planning any AI infrastructure are now: where do we build? How do we cool it? What powers it? And how efficient are the models?
Every single prompt, every image, it has this hidden water bill attached.
It does. And the next step has to be treating water as a first-class metric in planning, right up there with carbon, latency, and cost.
Right.
And so that leaves you, the listener, with a really challenging question for the future. We know AI's water use is now rivaling that of entire nations. It is becoming a governance issue. So what should dictate future AI policy? Should local water stress and climate risk become the primary factor for deciding where we build these things, overriding those traditional concerns like tax incentives and cheap land? Because if we don't change how we answer that question, we really do risk trading our digital intelligence for very real-world shortages.